Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the first Sunday of each month from 3 to 4 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with a community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Jordan from Laytonville High School.
And myself, Jesse from Laytonville High School.
Our topic for today is consuming the youth. Here we are in the middle of the holiday season and the push is on to spend money. Black Friday, Cyber Monday, shop till you drop. It appears to be America's favorite pastime. Does it ever feel like we're being manipulated?
There's nothing new about the pressure to spend at this time of year once the Depression and World War II were finished. Stores and in the media have heralded about how important it is for us to consume during the short days of the year, even if it is for things we already have or do not need or go into debt to possess. Calling it the season of giving removes the stigma of selfishness from it. It is wonderful to give gifts to other people and to receive them. But are we doing this out of free will and rationality? Or are we being manipulated? Are advertisers just using the power of suggestion? Or do they use tools of mind control? And at what age are the youth trained to become consumers? A few definitions are in order. Consumerism is used to describe the tendency of people to identify strongly with the products or services they consume, especially those with commercial brand names and obvious status-enhancing appeal. For example, an expensive automobile, expensive clothes, and captivating technological devices. A culture that is permeated by consumerism can be referred to as consumer culture. Impulse buyers who cannot resist spending money are commonly termed as shopaholics.
Affluenza is a term used by critics of consumerism. It is a word formed by the contraction of affluence and influenza. John DeGraff coined the term, defining it as a painful, contagious, socially transmitted condition of overload, debt, anxiety, and waste, resulting from the dogged pursuit of more. Another defines it as the bloated, sluggish, and unfulfilled feeling that results from efforts to keep up with the Joneses. Advertising creates consumer culture. Many products are targeted at youth. iPods, designer clothes, fast food, and toys, especially those with television and movie linkages. Thanks in large part to the internet, youth in America now glimpse 3,000 ads per day. Our ability to choose which items we want to desire is our introduction to consumerism. And many of us confuse this plethora of selections with freedom. We identify with others who have made similar choices in clothing, sports gear, or MP3 players. Brand names and brand logo, we pay to wear clothing that advertises our choices in the so-called free market. None of this is brand new. Consumer science has been around for decades. British documentarian Adam Curtis produced a brilliant series called Century of the Self in 2002, which explores the evolution of the consumer with great insight into the influence of Sigmund Freud and Edward Bernays. Adbusters is a Canadian foundation created in 1989 to subvert consumerism and protect the environment. Canadian author Naomi Klein wrote No Logo, Taking Aim at the Brand Bullies in 1999. And in 2004, Susan Lin wrote a book called Consuming Kids, The Hostile Takeover of Childhood, which became a video released in 2008.
The last video, Consuming Kids, points out that children personally spend $40 billion a year in America and influence parental spending of $700 billion per year. Thus, advertising agencies have taken to what Susan Lin calls scientific stalking to find the triggers that make children want objects and food in ads. Further, companies have developed ways to increase the nag factor so that children will aggressively insist on certain products that they really know nothing about. Ms. Lin describes that the advertiser's approach as rewiring childhood and points out that consumer scientists discovered that infants recognize brand logo at 6 months old before they visually recognize words. And they are using this kind of information to produce a generation of super consumers. Some of you may think that this shouldn't matter, since consuming things is essential in a capitalist society. The American childhood marketing industry is worth $15 billion annually, and they say that the control of childhood advertising should be up to parents. The United States stands alone as a developed country with no regulations on childhood marketing. Lawmakers continually reject proposals to control commercial influence on youth, saying advertisers are protected by the First Amendment, their right of free speech. Yet they safeguard children by enacting laws requiring children to wear bicycle helmets. We hope that you're interested in consuming kids and will want to participate. We are at the Willett Studio, and our phone number will be 456-9991. We will encourage everyone to join in the discussion in about 20 minutes. Let's begin about talking about consumerism and affluenza.
What surprises you most about all the statistics we read in there?
Nothing. Well, there were some things that kind of surprised me, but I think what surprised me the most is the paper I read before the show about how they move tween, like the little word tween, you know? It used to be like 10 through 12 year olds, and now it's 6 through 12 year olds, and that, like, that really shocked me when I read that. Like, I actually had no idea about that.
Here it is right here. Products appeal to the natural desire to be older. The invention of the word tween was 10 to 12, now is 6 to 12, implies no longer a child. Saying a 6-year-old is no longer a child is completely ridiculous in my opinion.
I'm still a child right now. My math teacher is still a child. There was no joke about that.
Yeah, no, I think all of us would agree with that.
But that really shocked me. Like, I mean, I know when I was a little kid, I wanted to be, like, you know, older. But, I mean, I didn't really, when I was, like, 6 years old, I didn't want to be a teenager. I was kind of just happy with running outside, climbing on trees.
Yeah. Not anymore. What about the statistic that children spend $40 billion a year and influence their parents to spend $700 billion a year?
I can see how they influence their parents. I mean, I influence my parents to buy me granola bars every time they go shopping. So, I mean, but I know whenever I see a little kid, like, throwing a little temper tantrum at the store for their parents to buy something, it just drives me mad. Like, I'm surprised sometimes that their parents actually do buy it. So I can see how they influence their parents with the nag theory, them all crying. But, where do all those kids get all that money?
That's so much money.
I know. I can see how that is. Like, $70 billion, was it?
$700 billion.
No, I mean for the kids spending.
Oh, $40
billion. $40 billion? Yeah, I can see that because, I mean, sometimes now, like, I'll go to Starbucks and get myself a chai or something, and sometimes it's better than, like, you know, little local companies, and sometimes local companies are 1,000 times better. It kind of just depends on the product and the day.
Yeah. $40 billion, that's, well, considering that almost every single kid now has an iPod or a PSP or an iPhone or anything like that, and each of those are several hundred dollars, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
What do you think about the... kids now that have their phones, and they're like, I know there was a, like, I don't remember, it was one of my friends in Kansas, her daughter wanted a cell phone, and she's like in first grade or kindergarten, and I was, that's just crazy.
Yeah, why do you think that is, that kids that are so young want things like cell phones? And
because their parents will let them sit there and play on their little device, so they're like, oh, I want one for myself so I can play all these games.
Yeah, and they're all cell phones and things like that, electronic devices are always made out by advertisers just to make you seem better and cool, and all the new cell phone commercials, those are really irritating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it makes me jealous of the phone I have, even though, which is brand new, I still feel like I need a better one.
I like my phone, and I have the same type as you.
Yeah, well.
I like my phone. Thank you. I don't need a new phone. I know, like, sometimes I do think, though, sometimes when I see those commercials, I'm like, I kind of want a new phone, and then I'm like, No, I don't really need one. Mine's fine.
The thing that's ridiculous is our phones, they have all the features where it can detect if your eyes are looking at the screen.
Those just dim creep it me automatically. Out.
Yeah, that's
I just take
creepy.
It all off.
So do I. I have them all turned off, and they have that capability. And then the reason why I want a new phone is because of all the new features, and I know that I would never use them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like knowing that they're there and being able to use something is... I don't know, for some reason that sets something off, I think, in all of our brains, that we just need to have it.
Dan was looking at you funny when you said the little eye feature, so I'll explain it. On one of the features on our phones, when you're reading something, like the little camera on the front-facing camera towards you, it will detect your eye, so when you get to the bottom of the screen, it will scroll up for you. And so you can, like, read the next part, and that, I don't know, it just creeps me out, so I don't do it. It has, like... has a lot of stuff like that.
It is, yeah.
Oh, and it has one, if you, like, look away from it, then the screen will shut off.
The screen will shut off, and you look back, it'll turn on, yeah. And then, what else does it have? Yeah, if you look away during a video, it'll pause it, and if you look back, it'll resume it. But, mm-hmm. And then it has that one feature, which...
If you, like,
I still
wave
don't
your
understand.
Hand,
yeah,
if
you wave
your
hand in front of it, it'll do something. You don't even
it'll
have to interact with the phone.
Yeah, no, you just wave your hand over it, and it'll, like, the screen will light up, and it'll tell you the time, if you have a message, and, like, your other notifications will be, like, right there on the screen. You don't have to click any buttons or anything. It's weird.
Well, those are all one of the main selling points and one of the main... things that advertisers attack in all the ads we see on TV, yet I don't think there's I don't know a single person that uses those features on a daily basis.
Mm-mm. I mean, I'll admit, before I got the phone, I thought that was pretty cool. And I'm like, oh, it has all these features, you can do this. And then after I started checking it out, I was like, this is kind of creepy. This kind of scares me.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
What about the 3,000, kids see 3,000 advertisements a day? What do you think about that?
I think that has to do a lot with the technology and then social media and TV, because God knows there's thousands of ads on there. But I think that's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, I know.
Because I know in TV shows, like 30-minute episodes and stuff, like 10 minutes of that or more will be just ads. Like commercials and stuff. And I see how that can, like, get you to, like, start wanting to, like, buy things subconsciously. Because you'll see the ads and you'll, like, remember it in the back of your head. And then when you see it later, like, you won't think about seeing it before. But, like, it'll just click. Like, oh, yeah, I remember this. I want to try it out. I want to, like, test it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I always, like, when I see things in, like, online or something, and I see them everywhere and... couple people will talk to me about it. I'm like, oh, I kind of want to try it, you know. So if I start seeing it more, then eventually I might try it out and see what I think about it for myself.
Yeah. And then now there's the ads that appear on our cell phones.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody is on their cell phone now, pretty much. And there will be ads that'll pop up in the notification menu or whatever. And
from, like, some apps that you download.
Every half hour a new ad will pop up. And they're so irritating because you can't get rid of them. Or...
okay, that's why you don't get those apps.
I don't have any of those apps. I know about them. And then there's the apps that require the ads... require you to actually look at or interact with the ads while you're using it.
Or you'll have to buy the, like, you can get it for free on the App Store, but it has ads on it, and if you want the app with no ads, you have to go and buy it for, like, $1.
It's so frustrating.
So many apps are like that. Or our little Words with Friends game on our phones.
Scrabble.
Yeah, it's Scrabble. Every time you make a move on there against, like, one of your friends or, like, the computer, it will... like, an ad will pop up, and you have to, like, wait until, like, a little X pops up so you can close out of it. But every single time you make a move, it pops up.
And they hide the X, so you have to scan all over the ad for you to find it.
Mm-hmm.
But the weird thing is the ads aren't even about anything specific. They're on everything.
Yeah.
The weird thing is, I don't know if you've noticed this, but on a lot of phones, they have a feature. It's called Do Not Track in the Google settings.
Yeah.
And that, if that's not turned on, it will track what you've looked at online and purchasing things like on Amazon, and it'll show up ads on the bottom of your phone on apps of what you've looked at before and things related to that item.
Well, that's weird. I know Amazon does that whenever I buy stuff.
I don't even know if that's Amazon doing that, though. I'm not...
Well, I don't think that's something it is, but I mean...
I don't know why. Yeah, it's really weird.
That is weird.
Yeah, it tracks your history and displays ads according to that.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Although, I'm not going to lie, ads, like, I clicked an ad on Facebook, and it led me to another little ad on that website, and I found this cute little prom dress I want to order. So I'm not mad about that ad. It's helping me. Yeah. I just said that.
Okay. Yeah.
So what do you think about people spending all this money, like, in the short time of year?
I kind of understand it that it's like it said, the season of giving, but, and I understand why it's right to give gifts. And unfortunately, everybody thinks that you have to buy something to give a gift now. But I don't understand why it has to be one short period of the year and why everything's focused in that one time. I guess it makes sense for the advertisers, but it doesn't make any sense for any of us. It's kind of ridiculous, like things like Black Friday, one day where people are getting trampled for $12 off a TV.
The day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, the day after being thankful for what you already have, you trample people in the mall for a new Crock-Pot.
Oh my god. I was at my friend's grandparents' house, and like there was people, like there was like 10 people camped outside of Best Buy, and it was like Tuesday or Wednesday.
It was Tuesday, and they were camped outside of Best Buy.
It was weird. I was like, why would you want to camp this early? I mean, oh, you get this like for this much off, but I mean,
and they don't even have crock pots at Best Buy.
Oh, Jordan.
What about the what is referred to as the nag factor, the things that make kids want to just whine and throw fits in stores for what they want? What do you have any thoughts on that?
If I ever did that, I pray my parents slap me. Because I really hate it when kids like sit there and start screaming. Like, I mean, it's fine to want something, but if your parent says no, you don't sit there and start crying in the middle of a store.
Is it weird? I always feel really awkward when that happens. I have no idea why. I'm just like, yeah, okay. Yeah, I see that a lot now.
Yeah.
A lot more. It's weird how advertisers can ingrain something so deeply in a kid's brain that they feel like they have to publicly embarrass their parents and cry and throw fits in the middle of a store. It's not like they feel they have to do it.
Like, they want to do it. I mean, it's just that they see it there and their parents are saying no right there. So they're sitting in the little checkout aisle screaming for it.
Yeah, and I feel bad for the parents. Apparently, they have to spend money just to make sure their kid's happy because of what they saw on TV.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, the movie Frozen that came out from Disney, I hear so many little kids saying, oh, I want an Olaf doll, or I want the Elsa doll. And, like, I mean, it's kind of weird how, like, honestly, I didn't even know there was, like, little Frozen Barbie dolls and stuff until the little kids were whining about it.
Ads in movies are ridiculous.
Oh, God, yeah.
We were talking about this earlier, and one really good example I thought of was the Transformers series. Now, every vehicle they use in that movie is owned by GM. Yeah. They're all Chevy and those brands, and they paid them so much money to advertise all of them because they're seen as cooler because they're, you know, the Transformers.
Yeah.
Transformers are pretty cool, I admit that, but...
We saw a car with a little Transformer sticker on the way down, actually. Yeah. But, I hate it in movies when they'll, like, have a shot of a person and, like, the person will barely be in it and huge in the corner.
It's just
like,
blatantly obvious they're advertising something.
Yeah, like, Dr. Pepper, McDonald's will be huge and covering most of the screen.
Yeah.
I wonder how much money they paid for that shot.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that really bugs me in movies. I always, that's always grabs my attention in movies. I will completely ignore the whole dialogue just because of that shot.
Yeah.
So we were talking about the scientific stalking, which we were talking also about in the introduction. We were talking about it earlier today, about the marketers following children in stores to gauge reactions. I think Dan was telling us, like, if they don't blink as much, they're more, like, engaged in the product.
They'll study everything they do.
Yeah, that's they'll follow so them weird. Around a store.
What do you that's think? So weird.
What do you think about that?
That's a tough one. It's so wrong, but it from a professional and business point of view, it makes so much sense. It's such an effective strategy.
Yeah. I can see how, like, it could be very effective, because, I mean, a lot of kids are gonna, like, if there's something about, like, if it's, like, a cereal, like, Fruity Pebbles, how it has the Flintstones on the front, you know, like, so Pebbles cool. and Bam Bam. Like, I can see how little kids could be, like, go more lenient towards that.
Yeah, there's that, and how many kids have actually watched the Flintstones recently?
But, yeah, I know a lot of people in, like, marketing, they always do celebrity endorsements, like the Got Milk, you know, that's what was a big thing, how they always had the little milk mustache.
We were talking about school advertisements, and those are in schools all the time.
Not in ours.
Well, not in ours. Yeah, we only have 100 students in our high school. No one would put an ad there, but yeah, I see them all the time. I know, for example, in Potter Valley's in their gym, they have a couple of those hanging up.
Mm-hmm.
Not one, but several different advertisements for the... I forget what they are, but I know that... Yeah, I know what you're talking about. The Got Milk things, yeah.
Yeah. Actually, we had in Leggett at the high school, we had, like, 4 Got Milk posters.
Oh, yeah, Leggett has a couple, too.
And then we had, like, a huge, like, sign. It was like a banner, but it was made out of wood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was hanging down of, like, all the local businesses and some random ones from, like, Eureka and stuff.
Yeah.
That we were had ads for just because they gave money to our school.
Yeah. And then the other thing about marketing is there's all these things where it's not about how good a product is, about how it tastes or how it works. It's about
Sprite
its status.
Versus 7-Up.
Yeah, Coke versus Pepsi. Not even that, yeah. Well, what I'm talking about is the status symbol that it brings, like an Apple computer, for example. I think they're pretty good computers. They're not my first choice. They're not my favorite, but the status symbol that they bring, like having an iPhone or having a several thousand dollar MacBook, people buy them for that aspect, not even really the
features. Yeah, no, like I could see myself getting a MacBook if I was like into the media industry, because they have like really good programs that are in there for free already, even though it's a very expensive computer. They have things where you can like edit music, create music, and edit videos, and like those, they all have like really nice software for that. It's just I don't need it, so I don't see really the point of why I would need to get an Apple computer, you know? So that's why I'm kind of happy with my little Acer, even though it keeps dying on me. But like if I was in the media industry, or if I like really needed something that was on that computer, I could see myself getting it easily.
Yeah, it's,
but I'm like,
that's how a lot of things are, is they're really specialized and they're only really good for one purpose, except people buy them just because of how they make someone seem.
Like the Miss Me jeans, the designer clothes.
Yeah.
I have one pair of Miss Me jeans that I've never worn. Like, I wear, like, twice in, like, this past 6 months. And I got them for free. And then I see people wearing these Miss Me's, which are over $100 jeans all the time. And they just completely ruin them. They step on them and get holes because they don't want to roll them up because it won't look as cool. And they just completely destroy these jeans that they spent so much money on. And it just bugs me.
You know, I used to think $30 was expensive for a pair of jeans. And you know what? I still do.
Yeah. Try being a girl.
That's,
it's worse.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Over how much do they cost? Like $120
yeah.
for a pair of jeans? That, and the thing is it's not... The main market for them is, what is it, is the tween group, 6 to 12, who are going to outgrow them in 3-4 months.
Well, yeah, but I see a lot of people in our class wearing them, too, like in the high school.
Yeah, well.
It's pretty much from, like, I see, they make little kid, I'm pretty sure they make, like, baby Miss Me's and stuff.
Oh, Lord.
I'm pretty sure they do. I know they make, like, little baby Uggs and stuff, and Nikes. And Jordans, so I'm pretty sure they make Miss Me's.
Yeah.
And that really bugs me. They'll spend like $300 on a little pair of little Ugg booties for their kids, for like the 2-month-old kid.
Did it last 3 weeks, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, maybe if you're rich and you've got money to spare, you know, that's fine. But yeah. I see people that don't, and they just do it.
Yeah, and the thing the advertising does is it makes you, even if you don't have the luxury of spending all that money on things that insignificant, it makes you want to. It makes you seem like you will be...
You must go into debt for it.
Yeah, you'll be more socially acceptable if you do. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, I know when I was a kid, like, I had a little MP3 player. It was like... It was ghetto MP3 player, but I still wanted an iPod. Like, that was when I was, like, a little kid, so, you know, mm-hmm. that was kind of, like, a little consumerism trick in my mind, but...
Yeah, and then 6-month-year-old, or 6-month, 6-month-olds, 6-month-year-olds, 6-month-olds can now recognize brand logos better than they can English words. Well, it's a 6-month-old, I mean, they can't really read. But
they can recognize Spanish words then? Sorry, just thought I'd be a little smart with you.
Was a good one. I'll give it to you.
Good one. I can see that because when you're used to watching so many ads on TV and on when you use your parents' phone or their iPad to play games, because I see little kids do that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And like I can see how they can recognize ads better. And even... I don't know how old he is, but Liable, you know?
Yeah.
He grabbed one of our hosts that isn't here today, Kia. He was using her phone. He was like, oh, can I play games on your phone? She's like, sure. And she handed him her phone. And so he opened her phone, went through all the apps and stuff. He's like, you have dumb games, and handed it back to her. And he like... and he's so young. Do you know how old he is?
He's what, 6?
Maybe
6 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
he can work
and he can perfectly
better.
Navigate iPhones and stuff. When I was 6, okay, yeah, the first my, what am I trying to say? Okay, yeah, my first iPod was one of the old scroll ones. You know, it was one of the real small nano ones, which we thought was small back then. But yeah, and then I saw someone with a touchscreen iPod.
Oh yeah.
And that thing was so foreign. I was just blown away by the technology. I was like, how can you navigate by touching the screen? That doesn't make any sense.
But and I then, thought you have to scroll.
Yeah, and then now 6-year-olds can just pick up something and immediately know how to work it. Which is, I do that too now. I don't understand how I learned that skill. But
yeah, no, my mom will be like, can you help? Like, because she has a little website online. She'll be like, can you help me figure this out? And I'll, like, I can sit there and, like...
Instantly, yeah, just... Done.
Yeah, it'll take me a minute, but I can just figure it out, like, quicker. And she'll be sitting there for half an hour not being able to, like, figure it out. And I'll just be like, okay. I can only think what it was like for her generation after, like, our generation got computers and stuff. Like, what is this?
What is this sorcery? Yeah.
But, yeah, really, like, I guess that's why, like, you know, little kids obviously want the... cell phones and stuff, but
shell phones. Yeah.
Shell phones. So, what do you think about all the billboards and ads on buses, about fast food and products, and like in New York City? I remember when I went there, and I was only there for a couple days. In Times Square, there was light up billboards. There was so many ads everywhere in my face. You'd go into a store and there was more billboards.
Yeah, that's just, I don't even understand how it's effective at that point, because you're seeing so many freaking ads, you don't know which ones you just saw and which ones grabbed your attention.
Well, that's why they try to make them the biggest and the flashiest and the cutest or the coolest, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's, and then, like you said, in ads on buses, like, we see those even now in the city buses, the transportation. They have ads all along the side and on the back, and I notice that whenever I'm driving behind one, I will constantly be looking at the back of that.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's just me, but I'm just staring at it, like, just...
No, I swear, there's so many Geico like ads on the back of buses. I feel like Kansas and Oklahoma have the best billboard ads, because they're like, there's these certain billboards and they're all by the same company, but they have nothing to do with any sort of product at all. Like, I don't even know the company. It's just some random company that I've never even heard of. It's just like, it's like Tiny in the Corner. It's just these random funny ads, and it makes me happy because they don't have to deal with anything.
Yeah. Just random odds and ends, yeah. Ads.
I wish I remembered the company name, or else I would go online and search it again, because whenever I go and visit, I always like Google it for the images.
Yeah, and it's weird that we see all those ads, you know, like we were talking about, on the back of buses, and it must work, because, and ads in Times Square, like you were saying, because they spend so much money on those. Or
Super Bowl commercial ads.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
That is my favorite part of the Super Bowl.
Well, that's because you don't like football, Jordan.
I never said I didn't like football. I said, I'm not going to stay, but...
If your significant other isn't excited about football season, you both should probably go see different, you know, girlfriends.
Anyway. Where was I going with that? The Doritos commercials. Those are good commercials.
Keep your hands off Doritos. Keep your hands off my mama. I remember that from, like, I don't even know. It was like 2 or 3 Super Bowls ago. It might have been middle school.
Oh, wow.
I don't remember. It was just hilarious.
Yeah. And then, I read that the United States is the only developed nation that doesn't have any regulations protecting children from these ads that we see. Like you said, during the Super Bowl, it's just an overload of ads. They are really great ads, I will say that. But yeah. And why do you... Okay, first, two questions about the children protection thing. First question is, why do you think we don't have any regulations? And two, do you think the regulations would help?
I think we just don't have any regulations because it's the, you know, big companies running America that are, like, persuading the government, like, we don't need this. Like, we'll lose all this money. Just like, thousands and thousands of things before that's been issues with the government that's been debated. But I think there should be regulations because tons of companies always try to get, like, animated pictures, like cigarette companies how they used to always advertise on TV. They would, like, the Camel lights. They would always have the cute little camel on the commercial and stuff, and it would just, like, it would make little kids, like, think, oh, look, it's a camel. It's so cute. Yeah. I want it.
Yeah.
And it's, they're, like, subconsciously advertising cigarettes to them, like, well, it's obvious for them. But, like, the kids won't realize that, and by the time they get, like, start getting, like, you know, in the tween stage, in their times, not in really our times, but, like, when they would start getting...
No, I know what you mean.
Yeah, when they would start getting, like, 10 or 12, they would start getting curious about it and start smoking. And, I know one of my neighbors, she's, like, 45 or something now. She actually first started smoking off a dare, and now she's been addicted ever since.
Wow.
And that was when she was in high school.
Yeah. Yeah, the only problem with, like you said, the regulations on, protecting children from the ads. The only problem with that is a lot of people think that it would violate the company's right to free speech.
Yeah, it would. But, I mean, Sometimes you just got it. Well, it's kind of hard to argue that one unless you want to take away that part of the right.
Yeah. But, unless it's harming the children, yeah.
Yeah.
The thing I always think about is, do people with children, you know, I don't have any children. I'm 17 years old.
I hope you wouldn't have any children.
But do the people with children worry about how the ads affect them? I just, it can't be good. Like you said, the cigarette commercials and all the, so many beer commercials.
Oh, God, yeah.
Some of them are funny, but there's so many of them that for a little kid and with a developing brain like that, well, we still have developing brains, but when it's that just spongy and it just takes in all that material, it can't be good.
Like, what's that a commercial? Isn't it a beer commercial? The one with the little mini giraffe on the...
Yes.
Yeah, on...
Wait, is that a beer commercial?
I think it is. I'm pretty
sure.
No,
it's DirecTV.
It's DirecTV.
The little miniature giraffe on the treadmill. I'm not sure if any of you guys know the commercial I'm talking about, but it's the most adorable thing I've ever heard.
If you've never seen it, please go and watch it, because it is adorable. It's just like a little miniature giraffe, and it has a little sweat towel around its neck.
DirecTV miniature giraffe.
Yeah. Like,
Here we are talking about consumerism and how bad it is, and we're going along how great the ads are.
But, like, just, like, if they, like, make cute little, just anything or any funny commercials or something cute in it, like, they just, like, try to make it so you, like, triggers you when you think about it. Like, oh, I remember this commercial about it. Because when I talk about Doritos, I think about, keep your hands off my mama, keep your hands off my Doritos. And it's just, like, this little 6-year-old, 8-year-old saying that to, like, a grown man. That's adorable.
When I hear Doritos, I think of the commercial where, I think it aired during the Super Bowl last year, the Time Machine commercial. Do you know that one?
Uh-uh.
Well, there's the little kid, and he says that he built a time machine, and he charges a bag of Doritos for it. Yeah, no?
I haven't seen it.
I'm sure a couple people listening know the commercial I'm talking about. Anyway.
I was too busy watching the Broncos get killed during the Super Bowl.
Oh.
It's true.
Well, yeah. All right, we're going to open the phone lines now. The phone number is 707-456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call, and we'd especially like to encourage the youth, their parents, teachers, and concerned friends in the listening audience. Please call in if you have questions or insights on marketing to youth and consumer culture. Should young people be protected from marketing schemes? Should advertisers be restrained from promoting food and other products that may harm young people's health?
Is it solely the responsibility of parents to limit advertising directed at their children? How can you teach children to avoid being influenced by commercials? Is consumer culture a factor in environmental destruction? How can young people grow up in an environment free of consumer culture?
Do you tend to associate with people who wear the same kinds of clothes or drive the same kinds of cars as you? Do you go into debt to express your love at Christmas? Is consumerism essential for a successful capitalist society? Is an unregulated marketplace a requirement in a democracy? Please call in and be a part of this conversation. The phone number is 707-456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 456-9991. Please call and be a part of this discussion. We'd really like to hear from you.
So, what do you think about how we were just talking about the commercials? Do you think that the funny commercials are kind of damaging to us because they make the like us kind of want the product more than others because we remember it more? Or
Well, the thing, personally, I don't remember the product ever. Like, I had trouble remembering the commercial with the little giraffe that we were talking about. I couldn't remember what it was, but I knew I loved that commercial.
No, I love all the Old Spice commercials.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I love the smell of Old Spice as it is. I'm a girl, so I'm not going to buy it. But, like, I love the smell of Old Spice. And then, like, when I see the commercials, it just makes me happy.
Yeah.
And
it's, yeah, well, yeah. It's so weird. I guarantee you that part of the reason why you like the smell of that is because of the commercials, because of the way those ads are set up. Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, I liked the smell before I saw the ads, but I mean,
well, I know,
the ads
are
kind of like making me like, oh,
yeah, exactly.
Spice.
Yeah.
What do you think about when celebrities endorse like certain products too? Like, I mean, Bose headphones and then Beats, like Dr. Beats by
Dr.
Dr. Dre.
Dre.
Like, obviously, a lot of people were buying those because
Oh, I know. Yeah.
they were endorsed by Dr. Dre. What do you think about that?
I think that's kind of ridiculous, the endorsement from a celebrity. People assume that just because this person is using this product that I should too, because it's makes it that much more special. When in reality, well, like you said, Beats headphones. Well, Dr. Dre made more. He made more money selling those headphones than he ever did selling music.
I believe that.
Yeah, and what they sell for what, $200? Yeah, $200 headphones.
I think there's $99 ones for the in-ear.
Oh yeah. Yeah, there are some cheaper ones, but
But I know
yeah,
a
it's
lot of
just
people weren't buying them for that.
Yeah, no, nobody really buys them for the quality headphones there are.
And feel free to give us a call at 456-9991 and join our discussion. I know I like those headphones, but I've never tried the Boys or Bose and Bose, yeah.
Boys.
Boys. I've never tried the Bose
Those are some
headphones.
interesting headphones.
I've never tried the Bose headphones, so I mean, I don't know how they are, but I've had like friends that had the Beats, and I was like, oh, these are pretty nice headphones, because I know like in the little microphone, like in
Yeah.
the cord, it has like it t detects sounds from like other sounds and tries to like cancel it out.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it does that. I mean, I'll look into it before I buy it.
Yeah.
See if it's really worth it. And
Yeah.
actually, I didn't even buy it. They were given to me, my pair of Beats. But,
Someone bought them, though.
That's true.
I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Do you think that it can be undone, all the advertising and commercialization that's put into somebody's head? Will you ever forget your little giraffes at
Oh,
Dorito
no.
commercials? Or how permanent are those things?
Okay, it might slip in the back of my mind, but if someone brings it up, I'm like, oh yeah, and I'm gonna get all happy and excited about it again. So for me personally, I don't think that the commercials and advertising can be undone, because even if I forget about it, it's still gonna be there subconsciously.
I will never forget that giraffe.
But yeah, no, I really think that something like that, that's well, we've had it for so long because, I mean, computers just started getting popular when we were kids. So I feel like something like that, it's pretty hard, if not impossible, to get be undone.
Yeah.
But if you go back just three generations, people didn't have television.
Yeah.
And let alone computers and cell phones. And how, do you think that their brains were freer, or do you think that there was really a difference when people didn't have their heads? I mean, I grew up in the 50s and 60s, and I remember the ads from television for Wonder Bread, especially. They must have played that one a zillion times. And I don't even know if they make Wonder Bread anymore, but it was
Yeah, they
Build
do.
Strong Bodies 8 Ways, and they had all these little balloons. And I can totally remember it to this day. But how about two generations before that? Do you think that those people's brains were freer?
I think there was always like I think they were a little bit more open about the products they were buying, since there wasn't so many ads in their face. But I think there was still definitely a lot of ads kind of making you want to subconsciously buy it, because I mean there's still newspapers, billboards, just ads everywhere, where your friends will have this one product and you'll be like, oh, like they'll be advertising it, you know, without even knowing it. So I think there's still like always some kind of ad, but I think a lot of people back then definitely had more open mind about products.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it made their minds, or if their minds were, you said more free. I'm not sure if it made it more free, but it stopped. They didn't look at something and immediately think about what we do with all the advertisements we see. I mean, they don't immediately process something as belonging to something else or being related to it.
Do you think that there's a correlation between levels of consumption and environmental degradation? You know, I mean, to me,
Oh,
it
yeah.
seems like every time somebody makes something, even if they make it in China or wherever, something is getting transformed in the environment to produce that thing, and pretty much everything, I don't know, what do you think about that?
Yeah, everything that we consume takes up resources. At some point it took power to make, it took supplies, and your question was, does the amount we consume translate to how much we hurt the environment? Is that, yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, I think it does. Everything we buy, everything we use, consumes not only supplies but power as well. Which, you know, power energy is very valuable today. gas is what? Oh, it just went down again. $3.
Well, for now, because it's hurricane season.
But yeah, it's. Yeah, definitely. The amount we consume absolutely correlates to the amount of damage done to the environment.
If not more. Yeah.
Would you recommend that people try and get a hold of that video, Consuming Kids?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, you can find it on YouTube, and you can also buy it from I think it's called Media Educational Foundation, something like that. But it's called Consuming Kids, with a K. And C, Consuming K for Kids. And it's really, I thought I had really understood the level of advertising that was happening directly aimed towards children, but it kind of blew my mind how effective and scientific they've become about the whole thing. And they think it's worth it. They think that they're selling more products because of it. And the whole thing about the nag factor that they talk about in there is really pretty shocking and makes you wonder, when you do see a kid throwing an absolute fit in the store, how much of that has been stimulated by something that's been implanted in their head during a commercial?
Yeah, no, I know when we first started learning about consumerism in schools, it was when I was a freshman, because that was my health class. And we definitely learned a lot of things about consumerism and, like, how they, like, take ads to, like, make it more appealing to all age groups, not even just kids, but every age in general. And I could, like, after, like, reading all the information about it, like, the advertising with mascots or celebrities or, like, big words that, like, not big words, but, like, words that everybody can understand, like, this is number one, like, it's been rated number one in by these people, and, like, I can definitely see how those can trigger your mind to make you want to buy it. I can definitely see that, like, especially after reading that, but it's not something I really put in much thought to without, you know, reading about it. I didn't really think about it much because, I mean, I was just a freshman.
I didn't think much. I was younger. I just started thinking recently.
Yeah. But
For sure, the advent of commercial television and commercial radio have given this venue to really increase the amount of advertising that's happening. And then the whole product placement, that's a pretty modern thing. I mean, I'd say that's maybe 30 years old, 40 years old. And we found that, Black Friday started around 2002, 2001. So that's really a pretty new thing, but it's fully ingrained and has spread to India and the UK and a bunch of other European countries. To have this, even they don't even have Thanksgiving there, right? You know, but they have Black Friday as a day to go mad at box stores and consume, worship consumption.
At least for them, it's not the day after. You give thanks for everything you have and just for people around you and stuff. I mean, for America, it kind of just sounds worse the way we do it, because it's, a lot of people start camping out the week of Thanksgiving to get the deals, and that kind of just blows my mind. Like, I don't think I would ever do that. I don't ever see myself doing that.
Yeah, camping out days in advance in the cold, and then camping out days in advance so you can fight for deals.
I don't even see myself going out there, like, Thanksgiving night or, like, Friday morning. I might go there, like, Friday evening when everybody's gone and go see if there's anything left.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't ever see myself being able to go and run and try to get all the best deals when everybody else is there.
No, my strategy is buying candy the day after Halloween.
The day after Valentine's Day.
So, but what's it say about our culture? Not so much about the sorry people that are actually camping outside of Walmart trying to get the deal on the thing that they really want or they've been told they really need and can't really afford, so here's the chance to get it at a price they can afford. But what's it's a cultural thing rather than just the individuals that are trapped in that position with no money. And yet, I mean, it doesn't matter how much money you have, all those ads are going to build up in you equally. So there's some people that can have all those, see all those ads, and they just go buy the most expensive thing. And then there's other people on the lower end of the economic scale that are really trapped because they really want it just as much as the other person. It would make them feel sort of equal. What do you think about that in our culture?
I can definitely see how some people would want to go out and buy, well, wait till that day to be able to buy something to make them feel equal, because a lot of people are at a disadvantage compared to others. And so if you see someone with like this big flat screen and you still have like the bulky old one that's like still all staticky and stuff, I can see how like it would make you want, like, you know, to go out and buy one. So maybe like you could be a little bit better. It won't be as old, and like you just want to upgrade of what you have. That's what everybody wants to do. You just want to upgrade.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It makes it's kind of hard to analyze, but yeah, it makes people who aren't as well off financially or don't have the luxury of just spending their money on anything they want to do that. You know, like you said, just as bad as the people that do have that luxury, and it's really harmful, I think, as a for a society to almost subjugate your lower working class like that, to just make them want to buy things for the elite, to make them to increase their social standing.
Or because I know there's still some people in our like high school and stuff that they don't have a cell phone, and so like some people like once you ask them for like their cell phone number, like, I don't have a cell phone. They're like, you don't have a cell phone?
Yeah.
Like, like, I don't understand why people do that. I mean, they don't have a cell phone, so what? Maybe they can't afford one. Maybe their parents don't want them to have one.
Or maybe they just straight up don't care.
Yeah.
Maybe, too. But the social status of not having that or having. Not having nice shoes, or I mean, I remember maybe 10 years ago, the kind of shoe you wore at high school was a really big deal. I was teaching up at Leggett for a little while, and there was this huge thing of a lot of kids that really didn't have money. Their parents didn't have money, and yet
what shoe
they,
was it?
They had to have a pair of Nikes or whatever. Yes. You know, it was like really this struggle for the parents to.
The struggle is real.
It was real, and. I don't know. So how do you think there's any way to change society so that, or is there a need, but if there is a need, is there a way to change society to undo this advent of focusing so much energy on consumerism? Is there a way to get around it?
I think there is a way, but a lot of people, like a lot of the big companies just don't want it to happen because they won't make as much money. They won't get to get their second home in Hawaii. You know, they just want more and more and more. So they're trying to keep it pushing on it more. And then once you see that all of your friends have a certain thing, you kind of feel left out. You're like, oh, I want it too. You know, like I have a pair of Nikes for basketball, and I see like people wearing their basketball shoes outside, and I'm like, I can't do that. I keep good care of my shoes. I care about them, and after once basketball season's over, I probably won't wear them again until, I don't know, some other time. But like, I like to keep my shoes like that in nice care. I don't go out and try to splurge and buy expensive shoes that like are running shoes or basketball shoes and then just wear them outside and trash them and get them all dirty. Like, that just really bugs me. Like, I don't have the luxury of being able to spend like that.
Yeah, and like you said, is there any way to undo it? A lot of people would argue to that if we did find a way to undo all the advertising and stopped all the cash flow to the bigger corporations that it would really be hurtful to our society. But in my opinion, it wouldn't. We would probably still buy just as many of the things that we do. We wouldn't change our purchasing habits that much, in my opinion. But the money would go to smaller businesses, smaller manufacturers, create more diversity instead of
all the shoes are made in China, yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, instead of all of us trying to be in one group.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting you say the thing about China, because you guys, since you've been born, you guys were born right around the turn of the century, right?
Yeah, a little 97. Bit before.
That's when the influx of things coming from China, you know, being made by people, you know, really cheaply and taking away all these jobs from Americans. I mean, that's when it really went into full bore production, the exchange of all that stuff. So I don't know. When the recession hit in 2008, people were saying, well, what people really need to do is buy. People need to buy stuff. So, I mean, in a capitalist society, there is this thing that we do need to keep rolling, passing the money back and forth. But the unfortunate thing, in my opinion, is that so many people will go out and get a loan to buy something because they've been hypnotized into thinking that they need it, even though they can't afford it. And then they're not only going to be buying this thing they can't afford, but then they're going to be paying interest to this bank, you know, for a long period of time.
Till they die. Crazy. Or your grandkids will be paying it still.
Welcome to college.
Yeah, well, that's a really unfortunate thing about college, because, I mean, seriously, I am so upset that it's just your generation is being told, well, it costs money to go to college. And my generation, at least in California, you could go to UC for free. And it's like, it was set up that way. And my father went there and it was free. And it's so wrong to indenture people, in my opinion. Anyway.
If that was true still, I would have applied to a UC.
Is UC more expensive than a state university?
Oh, yeah. It's like double.
Yeah,
is it really?
UC is what, almost, like tuition, housing, almost $40,000 a year.
And yeah. Okay, but I mean, okay, how about the Pell Grant? Like, well, a lot of people qualify for a Pell Grant, right?
A Pell Grant is up to $5,000 a year.
That's all?
Yep. Yeah, just up to $5,000.
Oh, man, I didn't know that. I thought it was more than that.
Yeah. And then Cal Grant A, it's like $7,000 or something?
Yeah, it's 90% or something in tuition.
Yeah, okay, but then there's like $1,000 or something left over of tuition, about, if not more. So, and then there's still housing.
That's all for this month's edition of Youth Speaks Out. Your hosts today have been me, Jordan.
And myself, Jesse.
Laytonville Healthy Start Coalition's Drug-Free Communities Project is proud to support this month's Youth Speaks Out. Our environmental prevention strategies in the community, also known as EPIC, is a project funded by the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Through our organization and coalition, we're working towards reducing youth substance abuse through a variety of strategies in the Laytonville community. If you are interested in learning more about our efforts, please contact Laytonville Healthy Start at 707-984-8089 or email Jama at jamashields@pacific.net.
Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of the show, and listen to many hours of previous programs and streaming audio. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them. Youth Speaks Out is normally aired on the first Sunday of each month. The next show will be in 4 weeks. That is January 4th at 3 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in January.